Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Nick Augustine, and I'm here with attorney Jacqueline Friedman-Stein of the Illinois Professional Licensing Consultants and of counsel for the Chicago Health Law and Litigation firm of Michael Fusavia and Associates. The Illinois Professional Licensing Consultants is a group of highly experienced attorneys and investigators who represent and defend licensed professionals. The licensing consultants interviewed in this monthly program previously worked for the Illinois Department of Professional Regulation and will represent and or defend licensed professionals in cases involving the Illinois Department of Financial and Professional Regulation, Illinois Department of Public Health, and the Illinois Department of if you are outside the state of Illinois, the Illinois licensing consultants have an active of counsel relationship with a few major law firms with offices in several states, so please do reach out for assistance even if you are not located in the state of Illinois. For more information about the Illinois Professional Licensing Consultant, please visit the website il-licensing.com, and you can also find the licensing consultants on Facebook, facebook.com/ Illinois Professional Licensing Consultant Attorneys, and as well on Twitter, twitter.com/licensing_attorneys. Today's show is Becoming an Illinois Licensed Physician with Jacqueline Friedman-Stein. I'll give a little bit of the rundown on some of our topics today. We'll introduce Ms. Stein again. We had her on the program earlier. She'll be a guest on a recurring basis, so we're happy to have her. I will talk about the process of becoming a physician in Illinois, the application process. We'll discuss several paths in that application process, which include by examination and by endorsements. We have applicants coming from all sorts of schools, so we might mention that we have applicants who are from domestic as well as international medical schools. And there are several issues involved that may cause an application to be delayed or referral to prosecutions. We'll discuss what happens in the process of resolving application issues and the impact of withdrawing an application. My guest today again is Jacqueline Friedman-Stein. She is one of the professional licensing attorneys of counsel to the Chicago Health Law and Litigation firm of Michael V. Fabia and Associates, and formerly of the Illinois Department of Financial and Professional Regulation, as well as private law firms specializing in healthcare law and legal services and professional licensing. Jackie earned her Bachelor of Arts from the University of Colorado Boulder, her Juris Doctorate from Chicago-Kent College of Law, Illinois Institute of Technology, and her LLM in Health Law from Loyola University, Chicago School of Law. Again, you may visit the Illinois Professional Licensing Consultant website for more information, and you may also contact attorney Jackie Stein for more information at 773-631-4580, and by email, jfstein at lawyer.com. All right, moving on, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I'm good, thanks, Nick. How are you?
I am well, and looking forward to diving into a very juicy topic here. As I mentioned earlier in the show, we have a lot of folks who come to Illinois, either they're natives or come from other states or even other countries to study medicine and apply and become Illinois doctors. So I look forward to hearing all the process here. Jackie, why don't you tell us a little bit briefly about your practice in professional licensing work?
Sure. Well, Nick, I started my practice in this area at the Illinois Department of Financial and Professional Regulation as a medical prosecutor, and also I worked closely with the Illinois Medical Licensing Board. And in that role at the time, and they still do now, I sat in on the Medical Licensing Board meetings, and the board reviewed applications with, that had various issues that they needed to determine whether they were comfortable going ahead and issuing a license or if they needed to obtain more information regarding an applicant. So in that role, I saw a lot of the issues that arise with an applicant in Illinois.
All right. Well, working from as we say, from both sides of the coin gives a unique perspective in being able to predict, so to speak, what may happen on the other end of an applicant dealing with the state. So let's jump right into the process of becoming a physician in Illinois. Where do we start with looking at our application process?
Well, I think the first thing is to understand how the Department of Financial and Professional Regulation and the Division of Professional Regulation is set up. So there's a licensing and testing division, and then there's enforcement. So the licensing and testing division is what handle the applications, and they their role is to make sure that the applicants are qualified to practice, and they also obviously they receive and process all the applications, and as part of that process they're looking at educational history, they're looking at the personal history to determine if the applicant meets the statutory requirements to become a physician in Illinois. And sort of broadly, in order to be licensed in Illinois, they are looking to see if the individual has good moral character as sort of defined by the rules and statute, and then they're looking at their education, their exams, and any work experience that they've had. And as part of your application, you need to have a Social Security number. So that's sort of the broad view. And once an individual submits their application, it is processed, and then it goes to a reviewer. And that person sort of screens to make sure that the individual is qualified to be a physician in the state of Illinois. The next step would be once the application is with a reviewer, they will decide if perhaps there's more information needed, maybe more information about the individual's education, or maybe there's something missing as far as their work experience. For example, if an individual had a block of time that isn't accounted for in their application, maybe a two-year period where it doesn't look like they were working, they may send a deficiency letter to the applicant asking for more information. And that will give the applicant, time to obviously to gather that information. If there's an issue that looks like it could be a reason that the individual might not be qualified to be a physician in Illinois, they may receive what's called a notice of intent to deny. And that sort of starts a more formal process, and the applicant would get that notice of intent to deny, telling them that they need to respond to it and that their application is now with the prosecutions or enforcement in Chicago. And at that point, it's really probably a good idea for the individual to seek counsel. And that can go, the intent to deny can end up once you've responded, being resolved at an informal conference, or if it can't be resolved, it may end up something that you decide to go to hearing to show that you should be qualified as a physician and surgeon in Illinois. And the department obviously can, if they don't think that you should be, or if you have a hearing and haven't met your burden of proof, they could deny your application, which does show up as sort of as a discipline. And yes, go ahead.
I was just going to say denial of application could show up in discipline. Okay, so if that does occur, you could potentially trigger problems in other states. I'm thinking
right.
of
so right. I mean, even though you don't have a license, the denial is something that's reported, and if you applied for a license in any other state, they'll see that. And then another, really important issue for applicants to be aware of. Once they've made an application and it's been reviewed and you receive a notice of intent to deny, if you withdraw your application at that time, that is also reported to the Federation of State Medical Boards and the data bank, and it's reported as a withdrawal with this pending intent to deny. So it's really important for applicants who have issues, and we can talk about the various types of issues in a minute, but it's important to understand when you're applying for a license and that, and if you have some, you know, serious issues that are going to cause a red flag, to know that, you know, you really should be ready to go through the process and try and resolve it in Illinois, because otherwise you end up having that withdrawal reported. So once you get the intent to deny, you know, you either proceed or withdraw knowing that it's going to be reported to the Federation of State Medical Boards and the data bank.
That's a tough decision, because it sounds like either way you go, you have potential problems and liability down the line.
Right. I mean, yeah, exactly. It's just, you know, I think some people, you know, apply for the license and they sort of think, if there's an issue, I'll just withdraw the application. But once you get that intent to deny, too late to just withdraw.
Like a mark.
Right, exactly.
It's like having a mark on your record. It's
right.
A permanent record, not like traditional litigation where you file the complaint and then get a motion to dismiss and then go and amend it and fix it.
Not
the case here. This is one of those reasons that we really focus on these particular nuances of administrative law, because a lot of folks who assume that it's like any other process may end up on the short end of the stick, so to speak, when working with the state agencies. Because, again, at the end of the day, the state is doing their job to protect consumers and make sure that everyone is, you know, has all the education, the qualifications, as you said, the good moral character in some of these. So I'm just wondering, with the reviewers in the process, if they flag anything that could trigger this notice of intent to deny, that some of those could be objective or subjective qualifications. I mean, it just seems that if you have a reviewer who believes that something's wrong with the moral, you know, we talked about good moral character, that could be sometimes a judgment call, as opposed to looking to see if certain credits and qualifications on the examination or education side are present. So I see why it's so important to hire an attorney to be represented if someone does receive that notice of intent to deny.
Right. And I mean, usually what they're looking for are things that could be a violation of the Act. And, you know, for anyone filling out the application, they'll see the personal history questions. So you sort of know what the red flags are going to be. You know, have you pled guilty to a criminal offense in state or federal court? Do you have a DUI, DWI? Have you been convicted of a felony? So you can see when you're filling out the applications that you should be aware of the things that would be red flags. And then they do also ask, as part of the personal history questions, if you have any disease or condition that interferes with your ability to perform your functions as a physician. And, you know, that can be mental or emotional, emotional condition. It can be alcohol or substance abuse. It could be even a physical disease or condition that might interfere with your practice. And if you answer yes to that, then you really need to attach an explanation and documentation, you know, showing that you've had treatment or you're in treatment, and maybe a letter from a professional a qualified professional, stating that they don't think whatever this condition is will interfere with, in their opinion, your practice as a physician. So, I mean, that's a pretty broad question, and some people, you know, may have trouble with that question because maybe, you know, when they were in high school, they were diagnosed with depression and were treated then. Well, you know, then they have to decide, do I answer that yes? Am I going to have another, have an evaluation? It's kind of a gray area. And, you know, if you think you might have some issue, again, it's probably a good idea to talk to counsel because it is always better to give the department the information that they're requesting, and you're, in a way, better off in, you know, maybe giving them something where they think, oh, you know, we didn't necessarily need that, but, you know, they feel like then you are being transparent and you're not hiding anything.
Right. So, it's always best to, but very, very much a best thing to always full disclosure, and always, as they
right.
say, the truth will set you free. But again,
exactly.
Don't go overspilling too much. Have your attorney
exactly.
With you and discuss how.
Right.
It's not what you are admitting to, and maybe it's how you are communicating
exactly.
that. Again,
right.
because they're
exactly.
they're on the other issue spotting to see, you know, are you someone that they need to keep a close eye on, or have someone else come look at this? You know, everyone's crossing their T's and dotting their I's to get this done.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it's just something to, you know, if you think you're going to quickly answer that and you did have, you know, some sort of, you know, issue health-wise, you know, it's probably not a bad idea to just discuss it with someone, you know, to make sure that something that shouldn't be a problem at all doesn't become a problem. And, you know, the same with the question about convicted or pled guilty, or, you know, if you have something in your background that you're at all concerned about, it, you know, it's always a good idea to you know, touch base with somebody and make sure that you are answering the question properly, and so that won't be an issue in your application. And then, you know, the application also asks if an individual has ever been denied a license, you know, in another state. Have they ever lost the privilege of taking an exam? So those are other things to be aware of. And for somebody who served in the military, have they ever been discharged other than honorably? So those are all questions that seem pretty black and white, but sometimes they're really not as easy to answer.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's important to be aware of. And then go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say the process of, again, as we're thinking about who our applicants are potentially here. So again, we're thinking of people who are born and raised in Illinois, who came from another
mm-hmm.
local state, or someone who came from across the country, someone who's all you know, been a doctor already in a neighboring state versus a
right.
state far away, and our international medical graduates who are
right.
coming over here as well. So there's a whole different you know, potential issues there with the application. Let's talk a little bit about what may cause the application to be delayed. And then when you talk about the referral to prosecutions, again, we're not, I think people hear prosecutions and think, you know, criminal penalties. A prosecution is when we're referred to the processing of the application. So if you would maybe give us a little more, some of the details in generally things that you've experienced and what's caused these delays and some of the impacts of resolving the application issues, including the withdrawal.
Okay, sure. And just you mentioned, I'll just start with this. You mentioned individuals maybe coming from another country. So that does
mm-hmm.
Have its own, you know, separate sort of qualification for those foreign grads. They need to be certified by the Educational Commission for Foreign Medical Graduates, ECFMG. And then they, you know, need to pass their exams, their USMLEs, And then they have the issue of finding a residency, which is a little harder for the foreign grads. And the department is going to be looking to make sure that their educational, wherever they went to school in whatever country they went to school in, that their educational requirements are similar, that they meet our standards. And, if not, they may ask them to do something in addition. And, of course, they're going to want all the transcripts from these schools in other countries. And so it does raise, sort of a different set of issues. And then as far as the things that might cause an application to be referred to the enforcement unit in Chicago from Springfield, where they process these applications. It could be something like, substance abuse. Maybe you answered yes to one of the personal history questions regarding a conviction or pleading guilty. And it could be one of those gray areas where they just, they will send the intent to deny because they want you to come in and explain it. And that's how they process these, by sending out an intent to deny. It's different than the deficiency letter. That usually has to do more with education or work information, or possibly if you do answer yes to a personal history question, say regarding a health issue that you had 15-20 years ago, they may just need a letter from somebody and they may just send a deficiency letter. Another reason that you could get a intent to deny is for somebody who maybe had an irregular USMLE exam, and USMLE reports when the department gets your test results, they'll see if one of your exams was irregular, and that could mean like you brought a piece of paper into the exam and it fell out of your pocket, and you maybe were allowed to take the exam, but they mark it as irregular, like that maybe you were trying to cheat on the exam, or that you just didn't follow the rules and had a piece of paper in your pocket, which you're not supposed to do. Maybe you had an incident like that where you were barred from taking the exam for a couple years. Well, those are, situations where you will get an intent to deny, and you'll have to come in and explain what happened. And the department will usually, once you've responded to the intent to deny, usually they'll try and resolve these at an informal conference in Chicago, usually, with one of the medical prosecutors who deals with the licensing cases and a member of the medical licensing board. And at the conference, they will decide either we've heard everything we need to, we don't think there's an issue here, we're going to go ahead and recommend that the license be issued, or, we think that, say you were trying to, cheat on your USMLE exam, and we're going to issue your license. We think you've learned your lesson, but we're going to issue your license with a reprimand. And then, if it's something more serious, they may say we're going to issue your license with probation, and you'll have to follow the terms and conditions of the probation for whatever length of time the department recommends and you agree with. So, and then after probation, they could, if it's something really serious and they feel like you are not qualified to be licensed in the state of Illinois, they could deny your application. And, of course, you then have a right to a hearing. But those are sort of the outcomes of an informal conference. And one of the other outcomes that I did forget is that if you have had an issue with, say, substance abuse or even a serious mental health issue, but you have been in treatment and you've never had any sort of professional discipline surrounding that, maybe you were working at a hospital and, you know, recognized that you had a substance abuse issue and got yourself into treatment and notified, you know, the hospital, then the department will really do their best to be able to issue your license with an agreement of care, counseling, and treatment, which is confidential and is not reported to the data bank. It's not discipline. And so that, you know, that's also an option. But that could begin with notice of intent to deny, and oftentimes it is. But then the department will, you know, hear your story. They'll want to know, you know, all about your what kind of treatment you've been in. And usually in cases like that, they will try to issue your license with an agreement of care, counseling, and treatment as opposed to some kind of probation. So, you know, that's something to be aware of. But the department usually, you know, will try to, once you get that intent to deny, resolve these at a conference. And if it can't be resolved at a conference, if you don't agree with the recommendation during the conference, you obviously have a right to have a hearing on the intent to deny and, you know, present evidence and have people come in and testify on your behalf. So that's really how, you know, the process goes if there is, you know, a serious issue.
How many cases, you know, ballpark percentage? So something like we think of, you know, the percentage of cases that settle versus actually go to trial. Is it similar like that with trying to resolve things in the before hearing?
I would say that, you know, right. If you go into a conference, I think in most cases, especially with an application, you know, that they will resolve without going to hearing. And you know, if it looks like, I mean, the applicant has that option if, say, their license is going to be issued on probation and the conditions are just, you know, too much for this applicant, or they think they can maybe go to another state, and you know, they do have the, you know, ability to withdraw knowing that that will be reported. And in some cases, that's, you know, that's makes more sense to them. But, you know, they just, again, the applicants just need to be aware that if they have issues and there's an intent to deny and you withdraw, you will have that mark. But in some cases, that makes more sense to do that than to be to have maybe a consent order with very with a lot of a lot of conditions that you you know, don't feel like you necessarily need, or you just think that maybe another state would be a little more lenient.
Good point to bring up too, because again, there are, especially now with I'm just thinking about telemedicine and some of the mobile medical opportunities, and as technology increases, there's opportunities for more physicians to work in other states and be interested, you know, not physicians as well as nurses too, to obtain states in neighboring states, especially if you live somewhere where your metropolitan area is, you know, Chicago spills over into, you know, Wisconsin and Indiana. It just seems to make sense to talk to an attorney before, you know, running into some sort of a problem, because, again, where Illinois might have specific conditions, as we've talked about, Wisconsin or Indiana might not have the same conditions, and what may transpire in Illinois might be different in a neighboring state. And, again, everything goes on the National Practitioner Database. So I would suppose that if I even had a question of eligibility before I even were to apply, I would call someone, call a professional licensing consultant, and just kind of run through the process. So do you see that, that people do talk to professional licensing attorney before even going through the process if they think they're going to have a potential issue?
Right. I think that's an excellent idea. It's, it would be worth consulting with somebody and having them go over all the possible red flags. And there are, there are other issues from, as we mentioned, some of these graduates from a foreign country, sometimes their timing as far as taking the test within the required 7 years, maybe they were, working, or somehow they, in Illinois, you have to do it within 7 years, as I said. So if they're outside of the 7 years, that will be an issue. That's something that oftentimes the department will grant a variance to that rule. But it's something that an applicant should know. So there are, the issues that we've talked about, but there's other things that, maybe an applicant wouldn't even realize that mm-hmm. might cause a red flag. So I think if there's anything that you're concerned about when you're filling out your application or questions, it's I would say really worth it to consult with somebody who understands the process at the department and has contacts there to answer questions or help them decide how to answer the different questions and what information the department might need.
Very, very true. Always excellent to have someone to help you with your diligence, who's worked, again, like I've said, on both sides of the coin and understands the process very well. Jackie, I want to thank you for your time on today's program. I want to remind our listeners out there that they can call and follow up with you and get more information by dialing 773-631-4580. Also, you may email Jackie at jfstein, J-F-S-T-E-I-N, at lawyer.com. I'd also like to remind folks listening to check out the law firm of Michael V. Favia and Associates in Chicago, and particularly the blog page, michaelvfavialawfirm.wordpress.com, where we cover a lot of the issues we talked about, and there's more information there in a recent article about international medical graduates as well as domestic applicants for medical licenses. So again, Jackie, thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much, Nick.
All right. I look forward to talking to you next time when we cover more in the world, exciting world of professional licensing. And again, anyone out there who has a question, I know all the folks at the Illinois Professional Licensing Consultants, and they are ready, willing, and able to answer basic questions and help people along with the process. Again, not something you should be dissuaded by what we talked about today, but rather encouraged to move forward. Illinois is a wonderful place to be a licensed physician and grow a practice, and there's great people here.
Thank you.
I want to also remind our listeners out there to share these broadcasts on your social networks as you find them in your friends' Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn pages. And we thank you all for support in sharing the programming. Again, the Illinois Professional Licensing Consultants monthly internet radio program is programmed to give you the tips, tools that you need to understand how professional licensing works and how the attorneys at the Illinois Professional Licensing Consultants can help you. We thank you for your time and for sharing the show with others. Again, for more information, please dial 773-631-4580. Again, thank you for enjoying our program, and have a great day.